This particular feast is one of the most central in the Christian tradition other than the major feasts of the Lord, because the principal job of an apostle is to be a witness to the resurrection. And the way in which Christianity structured itself right from the very beginning is rather peculiar, which is very different than pretty much every other religion on the face of the earth. Generally, what happens with a religion is you have some kind of founding figure, he writes a book, he gathers disciples around him, and then he dies, and then they try to hold on to his memory in some kind of almost desperate attempt to stay close to him. Well, Christianity has some of these similarities to that, but in structure is completely different than it. First of all, Jesus wrote nothing, intended on writing nothing, had none of that purpose whatsoever, and yet he institutes 12 apostles immediately at the beginning of his ministry that they would be witnesses to him. But he doesn't tell them exactly what they're going to be witnessing to until the very end. He warns them in advance, like at the end, actually after in today's gospel, for instance, he warns them in advance that he will be rejected, hated, crucified, killed, and of course they're like, nah, it can't happen, or God forbid this should happen to you. And that begins and is a part of, not just beginning, a part of a continual stream of idiocy. And this is the good thing. The idiocy is our own. Any one of us who reads the Gospels with any amount of sensitivity, with any amount of generosity, would look at the stupidity of the apostles and say, yep, that's me. And any amount of person that would read the Gospels and just immediately suppose that they're smarter than the apostles or smarter than the disciples will quickly learn from human experience that they ain't all that, and that they will fall just as hard as the apostles did, if not more. One of the essential bits of being an apostle is one's own subjective experience. And this is really important. This is something that Christianity has forgotten for the last 2 centuries, and we need to rediscover it, and I was speaking about it a lot more over the course of the weekend. The apostles looked at their own life, at their own personality, at their own limitations, and that became the lens through which they understood Jesus. One's own particular perspective is an important way of understanding the fullness of who Jesus Christ is, with this one caveat. You can't limit yourself to your own perspective. In the modern world, people say, well, that's just my experience. Too often I found that that is a kind of subtle way of saying, I don't actually want to think about, I don't want to actually talk about my experience. It's a nice protective barrier that prevents us from actually engaging in a conversation. That's my opinion, that's my experience. But you'll notice that what the church does is she constantly puts us into contact with people who have different experiences. And a very easy example of this is the fact that we heard Luke's account of this exact same story, just not this past Sunday, but the Sunday just before that. Jesus gives more warning about the cross in that one, but he mentions nothing about the church. Whereas you have the reverse situation in today's gospel. And a simple literalistic way of looking at it would say that none of these things happen. None of these things happen because the recorded result of them are not exactly and minute to the letter exactly the same. But any one of us who knows anything about anybody knows that when you have 2 people in a room, there are 20 accounts of the same event. The way in which you tell the story, the way in which you reflect on something, the way in which you understand something maybe 20 years after an event is different than what you said 10 years after the event. Something that you experienced maybe just 1 year after the event. That more and more as we reflect on the nature of life, the more we reflect on the nature of faith, we are able to come back and deepen our appreciation of the very thing we thought we knew. And so these apostles, they constantly had to go back and reflect on who they were in relationship to who Jesus is. Because that's what the church is. It's not an institution in the sense of some kind of NGO or government or anything like that. It's a community of people that know that Jesus is their only life. They've tried every other poser, fad, and nonsense. Or maybe not yet. They probably will. And they've realized, just as Peter says in John's Gospel, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. And we have come to believe and are convinced that you are the Holy One of God." Being a Christian does not mean you understand everything that Jesus taught. Being a Christian doesn't even mean that you like everything that the church proclaims about him. But we adhere to him, knowing that it is life to be near him and it is death to be separated from him. And that's why an important part of this subjective experience of faith is knowing our own weakness. And I will venture to say, and something again that will be repeated a lot more on the weekend, this is precisely why Christian faith has grown so weak. This is precisely why the witness of the church has grown so languid over the last few decades and centuries, is we keep wanting to emphasize what we as Christians are good at. But every one of us knows that if we have a structure like a chain, the strength of the chain is always determined by the weakest link. And that's why Peter is the rock of the church. He's not a big, strong chain. He's not a strong link. In fact, he's the weakest one. But it's on all of the weakest things that God places his effort. If he wants to strengthen the whole community, if he wants to strengthen the whole communion, the trick is to always emphasize the things that we are the most terrified of. To pour them out, to lay them before the Father, to entrust everything that terrifies us before his throne. And that is what makes the church strong. It's really interesting that yesterday we celebrated Irenaeus, who's an early church witness, and then today we have Peter and Paul. Tomorrow we have some of the first martyrs of the Church of Rome, is what the feast is describing. All of these are not perfect people. Like, they're crazy half the time. They're living in a messed up world. They're living in a time of mass confusion where everything that society thought was going to make sense just crumbled all around them. But they knew who their Savior is. They knew who their Savior is. To be theologically accurate, I had to be grammatically inaccurate. They knew who their Savior is. And they were willing to suffer death for that sake. Both Peter and Paul were eventually martyred for their witness in the city of Rome. Peter went out to Rome, presumably because Rome was a Jerusalem mission. It was one of the first Jerusalem missions. And then eventually, Peter goes over to join it. It has this distinctively Jewish flavor, more than most of the other missions. And Paul decides to follow soon after. He goes to the city of Rome, as detailed in documentation in the Acts of the Apostles. Peter, when he's arrested, chooses and declares that he does not want to be crucified in the same manner that Jesus was crucified in. He wants to be crucified upside down. Paul, because he's a Roman citizen, is simply beheaded. He gets, I guess, off really easy. But what I want to joke about, joking aside, do you notice, though, that Peter is able to say that I am unworthy to be crucified in the same manner as my Lord? Just a generation prior, crucifixion was the most terrifying thing anybody would ever imagine. Cicero and many of the Roman poets refused to even describe it because it was so terrifying and brutal. And now it becomes a statement of honor. In our culture, we keep trying to remove taboos, but in the end, it becomes like a hot potato where we just keep passing it on. But through the witness of these apostles, through the witness of our Lord, and through the witness of all the churches that have gone since the first century, we know one thing. If you want to find the greatest heights of heaven, Seek the lowest place. Work on those small little links in the church that need the most help. Clean the toilets. Tend to the sick and smelly. Take care of those people you don't like very much and give them extra special care. And watch the grace flow out. Watch the witness of the church be renewed. Because when all of this crumbles, the church will remain. Because if Jesus' words have proved true in just 2,000 years, that this church will not be defeated by the world. Watch what can happen in the next 2,000.